Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Martin, let's start here because it was a nightmare for all Laker fans last night. I think they were hoping against hope. We know LeBron was going to be out for a little bit longer. He's not right. But they thought that AD would be in there and be able to, you know, hold down the fort. He's a star in his own right. You know, him and some of the other players, they could win a couple games and keep the ship afloat for a while until either LeBron is back or until they get to the playoffs. And then in a game against the Clippers, he gets hurt. They say it is his, he had back spasms. I watched the video like 10 times and it looked like he came down awkward on his ankle, the ankle that he hurt. You know, he's already got the injury that he missed a few months with, right? So here we go. And if you were worried about the Lakers before, you got to be worried now, because to me, they're destined to be in the play-in game. And number two, they're not winning a championship, Martin. I'm sorry.
I am not going to go that far. I'm not going to bet against LeBron James and Anthony Davis if healthy. However, that's your point, right? We've been saying if healthy, it feels like, since Christmas, and it's now we're in April now. I'm sorry, we're in May. We've passed tax season. We passed St. Patrick's Day. We are past Valentine's Day. All of these different landmarks to where you're kind of hoping the Lakers are going to come back and be healthy. We are now at the apex point. It's over. For the Lakers, the if healthy asterisk needs to just go away, because they're not going to be healthy at this rate. Because, I mean, I'm no doctor, okay? I assume that the people that saw Anthony Davis after when he was back in the locker room after he fell with like 9 minutes in the first, when he was back there the entire game, I'm sure those guys, you know, I'm sure they're qualified to know what's going on. I'm also not a chef, and I know when food tastes bad. I know I saw Anthony Davis hurt his ankle on TV. Now, maybe his back is also hurt, and then that just seems to be a compounding problem with the ankle, because he was holding that ankle and flexing that ankle. And it just seems like ankles are just not happening for the Lakers right now between LeBron and AD. And, you know, all year we've been kind of talking about the Lakers or the Nets. Which team is going to get their stars back faster? Well, it seems as if the Nets have won that arms race, and at this point, I have absolutely a ton of concern for the Lakers in terms of what are they going to be able to do, especially because, like, the teams that are in the top of the West they're not bad. Like, they're not, like, they're going to have to go and play really good teams early, like, at this rate, the way that they're going. If they come back, of course, I'm not going to bet against LeBron.
Are you hemming and hawing? What are you saying?
No,
what?
I'm saying if LeBron comes back healthy, right? If LeBron said if he can come back to 100%, like, if he'll play. Now, if he can't, he won't, right? But if he's – so if you see LeBron on the court again, I'm not going to necessarily completely eliminate the idea that the Lakers can win a title. But currently constructed, this team without LeBron is like New Orleans with Anthony Davis before they made all the trades. Like, it's not – this team is not a great team. This team is not – but I'm not going to bet on LeBron. I've seen him take not great teams very far, but I haven't seen him on the court outside of one game since February.
Yeah, I think you're pipe dreaming. You guys are all living this fantasy. Oh, LeBron, I'm not going to bet against LeBron. LeBron, in 17 years, not betting against LeBron. He won 4 championships and 1 in the bubble. So, he might get there, but he doesn't always win. So the whole notion you're not betting against LeBron, this is a pipe dream, Laker fans.
Hold on.
Stop.
No.
Is this on?
Hey, you bet LeBron James every year to go to the finals, and guess what happens? For the last, 10 years, guess what happens? If you bet LeBron James to go to the finals,
no, it ain't about going.
What happens?
It ain't about going. I'm asking you, they were supposed to repeat this year.
You mean to
tell me? Stop talking. First of all, they're not. I'm out on the Lakers. I said this before Anthony Davis re-injured his ankle. I said too many things have to go right, and nothing's going right. You just can't. Magically, LeBron's going to reappear and play well in the postseason.
So what do you think LeBron is? What do you think LeBron is doing right now? Just sitting up, like not rehabbing his ankle? Like what do you think he's doing right now?
I mean, but there's nothing you can do. It's not right. He probably needs more time. What you're not being honest with is that since LeBron came to L.A., he's been hurt 2 of the 3 years. This is what happens to older players. And this year it's taken him longer to come back because father time is undefeated. This is what happens to older players. This ain't new. I don't know why people are like, oh, I can't believe LeBron's, I can't believe he's taking so long to come back. Why not? This
because
is year 18.
At every step of the turn, LeBron James has defied father time. And I'm not arguing with you in the fact that he may not this time. However, I'm going to go ahead and let him prove me wrong. I'm going to go ahead and let it happen. I'm going to go ahead and let it happen first because all that happened when LeBron came and he hurt his groin and all of you and all the LeBroners out there were like, no, LeBron is done. He's done. All he did was go out there, finish second in MVP voting in the year, and then go take the title. Like,
Wait a minute. Do you remember 2 years ago when he came back from an injury and he talked about he was going to go playoff mode or whatever he called it? You remember that?
Yeah,
and
I do. And he didn't make the playoffs.
They didn't even make the playoffs.
So what's your point? So what's your point? Out of the 10 years, that would have been the one future bet you lost or the two, one of the two future bets you lost.
Point,
there you
my
go.
My point is, as he gets older and when he came back, he wasn't the same guy. He wasn't that guy that could lift up the team. And they lost to some bad teams during that stretch. When they fell out of playoff contention, LeBron was there and he played, and they didn't win. That's my proof.
So what?
Not
10 years
ago. I'm talking about what happened in the last 3.
So why are you talking about 2 years ago instead of last year when they did win? Come on,
they were in the bubble and he had 4 months off.
And then Mickey Mouse championship and da 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 da. Then how come somebody else didn't win it? How come
the Clippers
didn't win it?
They had 4 months off.
This season is ridiculous in any way. You tell me, Rob Park, you've been covering the NBA literally since before I was born. Literally before I was born.
1987.
Exactly. Now my birthday is August 17th, 1989. So like I said, you got 2 years covering the NBA more than I got 2 years of life. So you tell me the only time when the Western Conference winner and the Eastern Conference winner both were under the 3 seed or 4 seed. Both didn't have home court advantage in the playoffs. This season is unprecedented. The only thing that this season, like nothing is right in this season. So what's your overall point here? If
my
I'm going to go ahead and bet on LeBron,
if he can come back, that's
what I'm talking about.
It's
part of the reason he's missed
dream.
So many games is because they're playing every other night.
It's a pipe dream that everything's going to snap back into place for the Lakers. Just give up the ghost. First of all, the team that they have is not as good as the team they had a year ago. They made a mistake in some of the deals that they've done to try to – everybody thought they won the offseason. Not only did they win the championship, they got a better squad. This squad is not better. And then your two star players are banged up. I don't even know how you can look at it. And then you have the West, which is loaded. I mean, you got Steph Curry, not even sure he's going to make the playoffs, or LeBron and them could play them in a play-in game. My point is that the Lakers have more issues than people want to give. And here's the other part. Everybody keeps counting the Nets out. Oh, you know, well, Durant and Kyrie, and they've just lost 4 in a row, and they won't. You watch and see. Harden is coming back. He's already said he's going to come back before the season is over.
How do you know Harden is going to come back? Harden hasn't played it forever. He's like LeBron. It's a hamstring. Are you a doctor, Rob Parker? I don't know.
It ain't the same as getting out there and then having to come back out. He said that he is going to be ready. And my point is that they have two healthy stars playing.
So the Lakers have zero.
Hold on,
let me figure this out. Let me figure this out real quick. Because you mean to tell me that because LeBron came, played, and said, you know what, I actually want a little bit more time, and Harden hasn't played at all, that's somehow a check in Harden's box?
Yes, because Harden said that
he hasn't been cleared to play yet.
Because he will be back.
So you think LeBron James wasn't very confident before he hit the court?
No, because LeBron gave himself an out right away. He goes, I'm never going to be 100% again. That was his out, so that when they lose, he can say he wasn't healthy. We know how LeBron plays it.
That's a mental gymnastics right there. That's a Simone Biles gold medal mental gymnastics stance you're taking.
I'm just giving it to you straight. That's all you want it. You want me to be fugazi with it, or you want me to be straight? One or the other.
I mean, I just don't understand why Anthony Davis's ankle or back or whichever one it seems to be, or LeBron's ankle, is just somehow magically more damaged than James Harden's hamstring. Because what we have seen,
but I'm telling you, the Nets already have two stars.
And what happened with those two stars when they went up against Milwaukee and the team that's been getting their head kicked in
a regular season game?
Milwaukee went and beat the Brooklyn Nets 2 days in a row, and all we hear is Budenholzer's on the hot seat. That's all you hear. I mean, they went and dominated the Nets.
It wasn't 2 days in a row. I thought there was a day in between.
Two games in a row. It was a Sunday and a Monday. A Sunday and a Tuesday. Milwaukee just took Monday off from kicking Brooklyn's ass.
Yeah, okay. They won by two, and they needed like 49 points from
From the back-to-back MVP, a guy who's really good. I mean, they needed a star star. You expect your stars to play well.
What did
Kyrie have, like 45?
Harden
and
hasn't
lost?
Even played. We'll wait and see. When the three-headed monster's together, you'll change your tune.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week, explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Let's welcome in his former teammate, former Super Bowl champ. I shouldn't say former Super Bowl champ and NFL Network analyst, Mr. James Jones. Let's welcome him to the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. How you doing, James?
What's going on, brother, man? I'm chilling. I'm hanging. Y'all good?
Yes, all is good. Martin Weiss in for Chris Broussard today. And let me say this, James. I mean, when the story broke, all hell broke loose right before the draft. What are you hearing? I know you've had some comments on the network about Aaron Rodgers. What are you hearing? Bring us up to date.
Well, first, it's just crazy because when it all came out, everybody was like, Aaron Rodgers is saying this. And saying, Aaron has not come out and said anything. Adam Schefter tweeted whatever he had to tweet. He has his sources, whatever sources he had. But the Green Bay Packers, Aaron Rodgers, that did not come out of their mouth. So from what is being said from everybody, Aaron wants a GM fired. Aaron wants he mad at the head coach and all that. None of that stuff was from Aaron. You know what I'm saying? Do they have stuff that they need to iron out? Absolutely. But he never said he wanted out. He never said he wanted the GM fired. It has nothing to do with that stuff. So when I sit here and I listen to people talk and think they know the whole situation and Aaron's this, Aaron's that, just shut up and throw the football. You're not the manager. You're not the GM. You're not this and that. You know, to me, that's all BS. You know what I'm saying? Because Aaron has not came out and really said none of that. Is it situations that he wants to get ironed out? Absolutely. Does he want to get on the same page with the GM and the head coach? Absolutely. But he did not leak none of that.
I'm not going to ask you if you had a conversation with him, what was talked about. But have you been in contact with Aaron?
I have been in contact with Aaron, man. And I talked to Aaron all the time. And I talked to him a couple days before the draft. So that's why, I was sitting at home when it all came out. Like, this is not even Aaron.
Right.
See, Aaron has never done anything. He hasn't done this under Coach Mike. He has never came out to the media and said, I want out, said, I don't like the coach. I don't like, never. That's just not him. So I'm like, what are they talking about? And then me just talking to him and being around him all the time, like, that's not him. You know
right.
what I'm saying? So I was sitting on the couch like, this is crazy.
And especially and then when Schefter came out and said that he kind of, like, there was no necessarily breaking news peg to why he decided to drop this, like, 45 minutes before the draft, right?
Yeah.
Now, Rob, you may not understand what I'm about to say, but the rest of America will. But this felt like some Tywin Lannister, like, Game of Thrones type maneuvering to like get higher draft ratings. Like it felt like a non-story. Like,
now,
like
you know, I don't know
thing?
That show. If you said Perry Mason, I would know that show.
I know it was just the highest rated television show like in the last 10 years. But James, like, it just felt like a lot of smoke tied with the Jeopardy, like the Jeopardy thing. Which, side note, he's amazing at hosting Jeopardy. It makes me upset, honestly, that he can be so good at two different things. Right? Like, how can you be that good at two different things? But to your point, even when he had McCarthy, it was a big old Bleacher Report article that got McCarthy out of there. Not necessarily Aaron Rodgers going. Aaron Rodgers had almost been kind of passive-aggressive almost. People want him to say more, it feels like, throughout his career.
Exactly, man. And even when the whole Mike stuff broke with that Bleacher Report, Aaron was the first guy to say, like, hey, man, hold on. You know what I mean? Let's give Coach Mike McCarthy his credit and everything he's done in Green Bay. So, when, like I said, when this story broke, I'm like, that's not even Aaron. Even if I didn't talk to him, I still – that's not him. Me playing with him for so long, me being a brother of his, that's not him. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I was like, man, all this stuff coming out, I don't know who Adam Schefter and who all these guys talk to, but from me being close to Aaron and knowing just what type guy he is, man, that's not him, man. So I said on TV yesterday, man, that I do believe that everything that's going on over there is fixable, because that's how I truly believe, man. And just some of the conversations that I had with Aaron, it is fixable. You know what I mean? They can sit down. Like I said, if they need me to be the mediator in there and all that, I get this thing right. But it is definitely fixable.
You see,
man.
But here's the one question I want to ask you, though, because, all right, it may be fixable between those two men. But one of the things that I feel like you can't fix is the fact that, like, they don't have any offensive weapons of note. Maybe you need to go down there and go play X receiver. You see what I'm saying? Maybe that's the issue, right?
What do you mean they don't have any offensive weapons?
Devontae Adams, and they draft all these running backs, and I get that, but, like, I'm not saying the reason there's not a reason why the rest of the sports world was like, maybe Aaron Rodgers does want out. They just drafted a quarterback and don't have no wide receiver help.
You know what? It's crazy y'all say that, because I'm actually out here on the field right now with my kids going through some footwork and all that type of stuff. And I'm like, man, maybe I should get my feet right just in case they
look
need
at
me.
You.
No, I'm playing. No, I'm playing. But no, I mean, shoot. We've all been saying since Jordy Nelson, since myself, since Randall Cobb, since Greg Jennings, we've all been saying Aaron Rodgers needs some receiver help. We've all been saying that. But to be honest with you, they were saying that when we were all young players as well. You know what I mean? Oh, man, right. Bring in Randy Moss. Bring in all these guys here. And Ted Thompson sat on it, and he said, you know what? I believe in my young fellas that is here. You know what I mean? I believe in these guys. These guys could get it done. And we all ended up having very good careers, and we all ended up being very productive for Aaron Rodgers. You have a bona fide superstar in Devontae Adams. You got a bona fide superstar in Aaron Jones in the backfield. You have a solid offensive line. It sucks you lost Corey Linsley, but you have a solid offensive line. You signed Devin Funchess. He opted out last year. You still have Alan Lazar. So he has weapons. But to the outsiders looking in, and we're all looking like, yeah, he has a number one, but them number twos you just said, JJ, is kind of like,
right.
You know what
right.
I'm saying? So, you know, and then when you look about, you look at Tom Brady, him able to go over to, hey, Bruce, bring AB in here. I got him. I'm going to make sure that he ain't going to do this, do that, and he's going to come out here, he's going to be productive on the football field.
Our guest is James Jones from the NFL Network, of course, Super Bowl champ as well, joining us here on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. James, you know, Martin brought it up briefly, but have you watched Aaron on Jeopardy? And what do you think of the chances of him actually becoming the host of that show? I mean, that's a very popular show, and Alex Trebek, the late Alex Trebek, made that an institution in American homes. That would be pretty amazing. Do you like him on the show or not?
I do like him, man, and when I watch him, I'm looking, I'm like, man, he's only going to get better. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is his first time ever doing it, so you think, like, hey, man, let him host a couple more. He's only going to get better.
Yeah, he needs reps.
His personality going to start coming out. I think he's the right guy for the job, man. I love watching him on there, man. So hopefully this will be a good second career plan for him in about 6 years when he's done playing.
Right.
And he could go on to Jeopardy.
He was elite. I watched that show every day since I was 7 years old. Darren Rodgers was by far, to me, the best fill-in host. Because you know what? After he started reading the questions, you didn't realize it was Aaron Rodgers until they showed him on camera. And he made that little quick joke. He was really good.
100%.
All right. All right, Jay James Jones, man. Thanks for the insight, man. Appreciate it. We love to talk to people in the know, a man who's talked to Aaron Rodgers, and we appreciate you. Have a good weekend.
Not a problem, man. Thanks for having
me. All right.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, Martin. I wrote a column today for Deadspin. Did you get a chance to read it?
I did read it. I didn't agree with all of it, but why don't you go ahead and lay it out?
So basically, I said, I'm out on the 2021 Tokyo Olympics. Count me out. I'm not watching. I don't care. I get it. I'll miss some great performances by athletes who we know have all put in their heart and soul into training. It's a once-in-a-lifetime, you know, world stage and whatnot. But the games just rubbed me the wrong way. It's supposed to be a rally cry for nations to make people feel good about their countries and where they're from. It sounds like on paper this is as good as it gets. And you could wrap your arms around it. You could feel good about it every 4 years. And then Thursday happened when the, you know, International Olympics Committee, the IOC, announced very loudly and clearly that they won't allow at this summer games in Tokyo. They went and they named Black Lives specifically. They said Black Lives Matter slogan will be banned from athlete apparel at the Olympics. Nope, can't do it. They don't want to hear it. They don't care what went on this past last summer in 2020 when people took to the streets and even the NFL old white ownership bowed in and bowed down to it and decided that they couldn't fight this any longer, that they had to go along with it, and all the leagues chimed in. But the IOC is not having it. It's a ridiculous, longstanding ban about demonstrations or political, religious, or racial propaganda on the field, the medal stand, or during Olympic Games ceremonies. So in other words, you know what the IOC is saying to the athletes?
What's that?
Shut up and play. That's all they care about. They want their money. They don't care about police brutality. They don't care about social and racial injustices going on. They don't care. And this is why I can't get with the Olympics, because for, you know, 6 weeks or whatever it is, we're supposed to feel good about it. They're supposed to act as if all the world ills don't matter. And then let's go back to business as usual, which is about oppression and exclusion. Here's my other problem I have. In 1936, to give you some history and some context, they were okay with Adolf Hitler showing up to the games, Chris, in Berlin. They were okay with that because, of course, you know, I guess it wasn't political, but he was there. Mm-hmm. And yet, Jewish athletes from the United States weren't allowed to participate. They stayed home. A famous sportscaster, Marty Glickman, was a track star who was Jewish and could not perform in the Olympics because you couldn't go into Nazi Germany with Jewish athletes. But for some reason, the IOC and the Olympics didn't have a problem with that. And don't forget, in 1968... of course, the famous protests with Tommy Smith and John Carlos when they raised their black gloves in Mexico City. Of course, they were sent home, ostracized for them protesting the riots and what was going on with racial unrest in the United States. So I'm out on the Olympics, especially when they go out of their way to specifically say that black lives don't matter to them and they don't care. I'm not going to watch it, Martin, not 1 minute.
I mean, I think that's admirable. I don't think that you not watching the Olympics is going to have a super big effect outside of you being able to sleep good at night, but I don't think it's going to have a super big effect on the bottom line. But when I read the column today, my number one thing about it was, first of all, the Tokyo Olympics feels like it shouldn't happen, seeing as it's a state of emergency in Tokyo right now. And, you know, But that's a whole other issue entirely, talking about the athletes and the protests and not necessarily about the pandemic ongoing. But when you talk about the athletes and the protesting and not having the ability to do so, for me, I don't necessarily make a practice of calling on people to protest, especially professional athletes, because I think it's almost an impossible position to be put in. I think a lot of time, I'm 31 years old. I remember 10 years ago when I was 21, 22, 23, 24, when these guys, most of these guys are in this, I didn't have a high level of decision-making skill. Like, I was okay, but like not on the grand stage like some of these guys have the ability to do. So I commend them and tip my cap to them for that. And I also, at the same time, don't expect a Jaylen Brown or a Jason Tatum or anybody, really, even LeBron at this point, to go and say something. Like, I don't think that's their job. However,
it ain't about their job. It's about
I'm saying if you want to go and do that, that's fine. I support it, and I think it's absolutely right. I'm not one of those wrong place, wrong time, or whatever. I just am not going to pound the table and say I need this out of somebody. Like, for example, James Harden is not necessarily the most outspoken person whenever these situations occur. I'm not pounding the table saying I need James Harden's opinion. That's my overarching point. My thing is, though, when it comes to the Olympics, I think that this is one of the moments in which, if you're an NBA player and you were really walking talking that talk, come the bubble, this is a perfect opportunity for you to completely sit this one out. If you're an NBA player or an American athlete in general who the Black Lives Matter to you. I think it's a perfect situation to sit it out, especially if you're an NBA player, especially when you had this truncated offseason last summer. Okay, so you didn't really have an offseason. Now we have this season. Everybody in the world, every single all-star of note besides Nikola Jokic has been hurt at some point in time throughout this year. You only make it $40,000 if you win the gold medal, which is chump change. I mean, Kyrie just got fined $35,000 for not talking to the media. That's obviously not that significant of an amount of money. However, when you think about the people who are watching the Olympics, especially in the United States, they're watching swimming, they're watching gymnastics, and they're watching basketball. If Simone Biles isn't there and LeBron James isn't there and Michael Phelps, but the top American swimmers, they're not there, Americans are not going to be nearly as interested, and that's going to have an actual impact on what happens in the Olympics and the bottom line towards the ratings and all of that. I think that is a boycott that you can actually say something. And let's be fair, what are you really boycotting when you're talking about Black Lives Matter, right? We're talking about police brutality on black and brown bodies. Right, and that's an American problem, right? That's not happening in the rest of the country. It's not happening
It doesn't matter.
So it's a perfect opportunity.
No.
It's a perfect opportunity.
Hold on.
It's a perfect opportunity for these athletes to protest against the country that allows it to occur.
No, but the point is, it's an international stage, and that's why John Carlos and Tommy Smith did it at Mexico City. It was to bring light as what was going on back in the United States. And the same thing, we saw other countries band together and have their own protests all over the world during the Black Lives Matter. It got enough attention. There were statues going down all over the world, not just in the United States. And the point is, the IOC is ancient and outdated. That they have to go out of their way. No, they welcomed Hitler in the 1936 Olympics, but they got an issue with a guy wearing a damn T-shirt or something that's wrapped on that says the Black Lives Matter. If somebody wants to wear a T-shirt or something on their uniform, how does that affect the IOC? I don't understand it.
It doesn't. So you know what the response is? Because honestly, there's a ton of countries who could participate in the Olympics that way bigger problems that are happening in this country. And I'm not trying to belittle the ones that are happening in this country, but that's just a fundamental fact. But the way that you actually impact the IOC, the ancient IOC, we've seen it happen all across America. You hit them in the pockets. Americans don't, if they don't go, that's going to be the biggest protest that could possibly occur. Then going on the national stage, you know what it would be? We're going to remove the spotlight from the international stage because the Americans who are driving the coverage are not going to be there. That's the way you protest something like this. You don't
I'm talking about, I get all that, and players will have to make their own decisions. But I'm out on the Olympics. I don't care if me not watching doesn't matter. I'm not going to support anything dealing with the Olympics. That's my, what can I do, Martin? I can't force the NBA players not to go or tell you if you bought tickets to go to Tokyo, even though I don't think they're going to have fans, or whatever it is, tell you what to do. I'm telling you, I'm out, and here are the reasons why.